let's say Homo erectus, and I guess the next one is humans, right? Homo sapien? Is that how
there's,
it goes?
There's one in between, but yeah.
Okay, so let's just say that one in between and Homo erectus. Like, where do they draw the line that, okay, you're no longer an erectus and now you're that? You know what I mean? Like, is there a character? Like, is there a characteristic? Is there, like, anything else that we can describe that'll make that difference from, you know, that to Homo sapien or any other previous ancestor?
So because all we have access to are fossilized bones, it's based on time, location, and anatomy. So, but Homo erectus and us, you know, at first we kind of occupied this same general area, although Homo erectus made it really far. They were in Asia. But there are certain, like, anatomical differences that distinguish us from them. Our brains are a lot bigger. We're significantly taller. There's a few other things. What's kind of weird about this, though, is the only reason it's easy to make that distinction is because, one, they're dead, so it already happens, and two, the fossils are kind of rare. So I'm going to give you an example. When you turn 18, that's a huge deal because you legally become an adult, and so many things about your life change at that point, right?
Right.
But there's nothing about you that's different 1 second before midnight on your birthday versus 1 second later when you are 18. Yet,
right.
There are, so like, we, like, when does an adult become an adult? Well, we arbitrarily set a point kind of after the fact because we have to just say it happens at this point. I think these are called demarcation problems. So we have to just kind of do that. Now, yeah, you can make the argument that there's nothing different between when you're 18 and 1 second before. But the problem, this becomes really absurd, because the problem with that is there's also nothing different between 1 second before you were 18 and 1 second before 1 second when you were 18. And that's going to go up until you're a zygote. There's no difference at every step yet at this stage. And then if I skip a million steps and I look here, there's an enormous difference. So at the fossil record, we just kind of, it's actually, scientists hate how rare fossils are and how difficult they are to find. But it actually, in a weird kind of way, it does make our job of classification at least a little bit easier. Because otherwise, there really wouldn't be a way to declare this is exactly when it started being this versus that.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense, man. Also, what was I also going to ask about? Okay. What about that whole story about how the, like dinosaurs, like, approximately when were they around? Like, exactly. Do we know by science?
Yeah. We definitely know when the non-avian dinosaurs died. It was 66 million years ago. And maybe it took, I mean, we don't know how long it took for them to die. It was really sudden. It probably wasn't a year, but, you know, it probably wasn't more than a few centuries. And then they show up in the fossil record, I want to say, so it'd be about 185 million years ago, because they were around for 120 million years. They were around for twice as long as they've been extinct. And wow. It's going to be like, it's a Eoraptor, and is Herrerasaurus one of the oldest dinosaurs? 231 million. Oh, okay. I severely underestimated it. My bad. 231 million years ago. Okay. So they were around for a lot longer than I was thinking. Yeah, Herrerasaurus and Eoraptor and Nyasasaurus, that's a new one. But anyways.
Did you say Nyasasaurus?
No, Nyasasaurus.
Okay, I was like, shit. Isn't there a Greenland shark that's still around nowadays that supposedly was around when the dinosaurs were around? Have you heard about that one?
No. So when people talk about sharks, they just say sharks have been around since blank. And sharks have been around for like 400 million years almost. But a shark is a type of animal, not a species. So when they say... there's also horseshoe crabs are like that too, but the horseshoe crabs that we dig up the fossils of are totally different species than the ones of today. It's kind of like saying, like, there were crocodiles around when the dinosaurs were around, so crocodiles have been around that long, but the Nile crocodile, like any particular species we have today, was not around during the time of the dinosaurs. Just that sort of organism was, is what we mean by that.
So in essence, all of that's been evolved throughout time as well to become the ones that we have now, right? They're ancestors of the previous ones.
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. But yet, supposedly the world's only 6,000 years old, no? According to religious people?
According to some people, yeah. But wow, no, not if you ask me.
That's crazy. All right, man. Well, I don't want to occupy too much of your time. I just had those couple questions for you, man. Thanks for having me up.
Sounds good. Pythagoras did not invent the Pythagorean theorem. Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb. George Washington Carver didn't invent peanut butter. Surprised? There are hundreds of more misconceptions you can learn the truth about in my book, Facts That Aren't True. Get your own signed copy or audiobook today. Link in the description.
I kind of feel like Big Bang fact and creation fiction kind of contradict each other, don't they?
Creationism. Well, it'd probably be better if it said creationism or whatever. But what I specifically mean by that is young Earth creationism. I don't think there's any evidence of like old Earth creationism either. But I also disagree with the insinuation or whatever that the Big Bang is just a different kind of creation. And I don't agree with that either. But
so it just happened.
Well, presumably it has a cause, yeah. But just because the Big Bang happens, I mean, I don't consider that creation at all. I consider it a kind of cosmic evolution. You know, when, is there an example that I can think of really quick? When stars inside of them, inside the core of a star, the hydrogen nuclei fuse into helium. Well, that's a brand new element, but nothing that didn't already exist comes into being. It's just a new arrangement of pre-existing matter and energy.
Okay. That's interesting.
Like, yeah, there was no helium before, you know, the hydrogen fuses into helium, but it's kind of like, you know, if you build Legos, you know, there's no Millennium Falcon in the box. You have to build it, but you build it out of everything in the box and nothing more, nothing less. Unless you forget a piece.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I respect your perspective there. I think all of it is beyond our own capability of understanding, honestly. Because we could sit here and argue back and forth all day, I feel like, about, well, how?
How did the Big Bang happen?
Sure.
Is that what you mean? Oh, sure.
And what was before it that created the Big Bang, you know?
Yeah, we don't know. The only model that I'm really aware of that presents a possible cause are, well, I guess there's a couple. So there's an eternal universe and then quantum fluctuations initiate the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. But then there's a cyclical model where the universe expands and then contracts. And that can also just be, that's a process that doesn't technically have a beginning. It's like asking, where is the start of a circle? It's a nonsense question, actually. It doesn't seem very intuitive, but the science and the physics and the math may be capable of showing that, nope, it's absolutely tenable.
Well, I feel like also science and scientists in particular, they also kind of, it depends on who you talk to or where you get your information from, because I feel like they also butt heads, because you have scientists that fully believe in Big Bang, and then others that believe there was a creator. I think it's okay. Well, again, I'm just trying to say that everybody's got an opinion, right? Nobody knows what's correct, right? Some people have faith that there's a creator. Other people say, no, it was a Big Bang created by what? Nobody can still tell me. Nobody can still tell me what was before the Bang that created the Bang.
Yeah, I mean, you can believe in both of those things, though. But
sure. Yeah, yeah. Because I actually do believe in the Big Bang. But that was created by our creator. I'll simplify it by saying, and it probably wasn't this simple. Maybe it was. I don't know. But the snap of his fingers, right? That's what we call the Big Bang. And here's our universe and creation. In my opinion.
If God is all powerful, then he certainly is capable of creating a universe and making it look like a Big Bang. The problem is, I mean, scientifically, it's just not a supportable idea. Mm-hmm. And you didn't take this position, so I'm not throwing this at you, but there are some people that say things like, oh, well, scientists, they just go with the Big Bang because they don't want God to be the answer or something to that effect. And it's two problems with this. First of all, if we just say God did it, then that's the end of critical thinking and science. A scientist should never, ever do that. Even if they never find a scientific answer, they should still never, ever, ever do that.
Okay.
Because the possibility that whatever it is that people currently believe en masse or is popular or whatever is wrong. And science is probably our only hope of figuring that out. And it makes the world better. It has done that by doing that. But the other thing is how often does Christianity, go out and seek whether or not other religions are true? It doesn't do that at all. Now, I don't criticize Christianity for doing. I don't go around saying, you know what the problem with the Pope is, other than all the kid diddling that they excuse. They don't go out there and preach the Quran or like try to learn the Quran just in case it's true. It's like, no, I don't levy that criticism because, why would they do that? Why would a scientist just accept why would a scientist like include God in their model? There's no reason for them to do that. It's just, people's feelings being hurt, I guess. It's kind of stupid.
Sure. Yep. I will say, as a Christian, that I have, and I probably speak for a lot of Christians, maybe not all of them, but I have had that thought in my head, maybe more than several times, of what if I'm wrong? What if my, what I believe is wrong? I would say that the like you're saying, the Christianity or, the big wigs at the top, let's say, they're not seeking that, because they want to, of course, push Christianity. But I'll say that I have thought that, and I kind of just believe in God and our creator, in Christ, of course, but I can't say that I'm right, but that's where my faith lies.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, generally don't really have a problem with that. The I don't really do debates on. I'm not an atheist evangelist, essentially. I think the world probably would be a better place if we adopted secular, you know, beliefs and structured our society in that kind of way. But we're doing, you know, we're doing good enough, and I think we're actually winning. I think the worst aspects of not just Christianity, but any kind of, you know, nationalistic, like the problems with like theocracies and religion or whatever are the same kinds of problems that can be caused by like nationalism or ethnocentrism and xenophobia and whatever. And I think that those worst instincts kind of have been neutered by the American political project, which was inspired by Enlightenment philosophy. And so I think we're doing pretty well.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with
but
you.
But we still have a lot of work to do.
Sure. So. Yep. All right, man. Well, thanks for having me up. I just wanted to come up and talk about the Big Bang and creation there and see what your thoughts were there. But I appreciate you letting me up there.
You're welcome.
All right, bud. Have a good one.
Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.